Welcome to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You will help us this morning. Open our eyes this morning. We want to see clearly this morning. We want to see clearly this morning. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Today, during the first and second service, we'll be looking at dominion and influence. Hallelujah. Somebody say dominion and influence. Hallelujah. I believe this is the word in season. God bless the man of God. God bless Pastor for bringing that up. I will just build on the foundation Pastor has been laying since January, the beginning of this year, on dominion, on the theme for the year. Hallelujah. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Today, will be tell us, as an introduction to this teaching, I want to tell us the requirement for dominion and influence. And those are two things. Who can figure out the first one? Image. God bless you, my sister. And then, hallelujah. So God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So anything that qualifies as man, anything that must have dominion and subdue the earth, must be in the, number one, the image of God. And it must be in the likeness of God. Have you ever wondered or asked yourself the question, if God really wanted man to take dominion or to rule the earth, to rule over all the creatures of the earth, why did God place man in the garden? Why did God first place man in a garden? I hope we know that the garden was just a location on the earth. That garden is still in existence. How many of us believe me? But there is an angel covering that garden. Nobody can see that garden. There is a cherub God sent to cover that garden. And that is to prevent man from going back into that garden. But then it teaches us that dominion starts from a point. We'll still get there. But first, I just want to explain a bit further into what Pastor has been teaching us about the image and likeness of God. So number one, Pastor taught us that being in the image of God gives us, number one, capacity to represent God. Can we still remember? Everybody say representation. And then another thing that makes us in the image of God is relationship. It is only man that God gave the ability to know God. The angels were not created for relationship. They were created to serve God. And they have no other choice than to serve God. If you did not serve God, you are cast out like Satan. He was cast out of the earth because he decided that he is as good as God. So he was cast out of the presence of God. It was only man that was created to fellowship with God. He was created to commune with God. And that's one of the reasons why Satan is so jealous of man. Another thing that makes us the image of God is the power of choice. He says there, choose ye now, today, whom you will serve. Is it the God or the idols that your forefathers worshipped? But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Angels were not given the power to choose whether to serve God or not to serve God. Their purpose was to serve God. They were not created to fellowship or commune with God. That's not their business. Fourthly, man had the ability. What gave us the image of God, or what it means to be in the image of God, means we have the ability to create like God. You have the ability to create like God. I'll still come back to that. And lastly, man has the duty of accountability. And that is why it is written in the Bible. He said, when I come, you will all give accounts of how you have used your powers, of how you have given the authority that I have delegated to you. So that's what makes us in the image of God. Those are five. Number one, representation. We represent him. It's just like when you see a particular logo, if I tell you what is that logo, you can identify it. You can call it MTN. Why? Because MTN has a logo. If I show another logo, you will say it's Airtel. So image is more about what we can see. So let me talk about likeness now. What makes us to be in the likeness of God? So I'm just trying to give a distinction. Okay? Because when man fell, he retained the image of God, but he forfeited the likeness of God. Hallelujah. Did we get that? When man fell, he retained the image of God, but he forfeited the likeness of God. The image of God is a question of who you are. Being in the likeness of God is a question of how you live or how you operate, how you rule like God, how you live like God. So man was still the image of God. He was still a representative of God on the earth, but he had no ability to live like God. He didn't know how to rule like God. He lost his position as a ruler. I want to tell us something shortly. When God sent down Satan into the earth, he had no power. He was powerless here. And Satan noticed that he didn't have powers here. The authority that God gave him was jurisdictional. He could only exercise it in heaven. When he came on earth, he became nothing. He said, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, the son of the morning?" So Satan became nothing. The only way Satan could become any relevance or can have any relevance on earth was to get the person in charge. And who is in charge? Man. So we now see how important we are on earth. God did not make Satan the god of this world. God did not make Satan the prince of this world, but he became the prince of this world because man gave him authority. Man gave him authority. Man gave shared his authority. I want to tell us a secret this morning. Do you know that because God made us his representative on earth, He has decided not to do anything without involving man. God will not do anything in this world without looking for a man. The same way Satan cannot do anything in this world without looking for a man. Why? Because man is the only person, is the only constituted natural authority over the earth, over the birds of the earth, over the fishes of the sea, over every living creature upon the earth. Is the only constituted legal authority. So Satan is looking for hosts, while God is looking for vessels. And that is why we are witches, we are wizards, we are different human princes. Why? Because the only way that Satan can have or can dominate upon the earth, can function in this world, is through human beings. So what he does is to come to people. Just the way we share the word of God, we tell people that, do you know that Jesus died for you? Do you know this? Do you know that? That is the same thing Satan does to you, my sister. That is the same thing Satan does to each and every one of us. He goes about selling the gospel of evil to whosoever believe. If you are able to believe him just like Eve did, you become his host. He promises you just the same way he promised Jesus. Did you remember he also promised Jesus? He also preached to Jesus. He said, "Bow down to me." and I will give you the kingdom of the earth. I don't know, just so much audacity. He said, bow down to me and I will give you the kingdom of this world. Meanwhile, the kingdom he's talking about is not even originally his. Even when Satan was casted to the earth, he became the prince of this world. But what did God call us? He called us kings. So even in Satan, in all his powers, he's still inferior to the powers we have in Christ Jesus. So one of the reasons why we are not able to walk in dominion is because we still have the image of God, but we have lost the likeness of God. We don't know how to live like God. We don't know how to reign. We don't know how to reign. An average person here does not know the course they should do in school. They don't know. Some of us want to be a lawyer, want to be pastor because we see the way pastor you preach, you know, you have anointing. People want to see, you know, so many people want to be pastors because of that. Yeah. And that's why there are plenty now. People want to be pastors, seriously. People respect you, you do like this, and that's why they don't have the power, they go and look for the counterfeit. You know, church is good business these days if you are able to deceive people. In the same way, people want to be lawyers, probably because they saw somebody they really admire. So, naturally, an average human being does not know what to do with his life. That is what it means to lose the likeness of God. You lose the ability to reign. You don't know what to do with your life. You like many things. You don't know. An average person has more than 10 gifts, but they don't know what to do. They've been doing everything, the 5 of them. They'll be doing 6 of them, but they are not making headway. It means the likeness, that there's a blurry part to that likeness. Now, the man that God created in the garden was not a perfect man. And that was why God put 2 trees in that garden and several other trees. One was the tree of the knowledge of God, the tree of life. And the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The reason why God planted that tree, those trees, and told man, don't eat of this particular one, but you can eat of any other one, is because that tree of life was meant to give man knowledge. The more he eats it, the more he becomes like God. But the only way Satan could get our authority was to introduce another knowledge to us. Some of us think that the knowledge of good and evil is a good tree. No, it's not. It's an evil tree. Because in God, the life we have received is not the knowledge of good and evil. And that is why we live our life not by what is good or what is bad. Hallelujah. We don't live our life by what is good or what is bad. We live according to the knowledge of God. We live according to the precept of God. We do as we are instructed. We don't follow the rules or the principles of good and evil. Let me tell us briefly about likeness. Okay, about image. Image is your identity. We did nothing to achieve the image of God. We were given the image of God. But the likeness, we must grow into it. We must grow into the likeness of God. God created us in his likeness, but we are not expected to remain at one point. And that is why God placed man in the middle of the earth, that is in the garden, and expected that he would be eating the tree of life. And then that automatically expands his territory. It will start from the garden and penetrate the universe. But unfortunately, we know how the story ended. Man lost the likeness of God. That is vividly what happened to man that day was described in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's have a picture. Let's have an idea. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 5. This is Solomon speaking. He said, I have seen. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Continue. He said, fully is set in great dignity and the rich sit in low places. Let's see New King James Version or NIV. Oh, sorry. Before we go, please, let me read this part. He said, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. This was exactly the description of what happened when man lost the image of God. He said, I have seen servants upon horses and then princes walking barefooted. And that's exactly what is happening to many of us. Now, being in the image of God has not changed the fact that you are your royalty. It has not changed how God created us. But he has changed the quality of life we are living. Many of us kings here are walking barefooted in life, while the servants are sitting on horses. That is what the fall did to us. And Solomon said it is the fault of the ruler. Who is the ruler? Who is the ruler? It's not Satan. It's not Satan, man. It's not Satan. Let's read. Put that scripture up again. Go to 5. Hallelujah. Please don't sleep. I noticed the trend of sleeping spirit. He started with me. Hallelujah. Don't let it jump on you. Okay? He said, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Who is the ruler? That means it was our error. It was our error. It was our mistake. It was our fault. He said he saw princes walking barefooted and then servants riding on horses. And Paul said it all. He said a son, as long as he remains a child, is not different from a slave. A child, as long as he remains a son, as long as he remains a child, he is not different from a slave. So that means many of us are not having the likeness of God. So the reason, the major reason why many of us are not living and taking dominion as we should is because we don't have the likeness of God. We don't have the resemblance of God. We are still princes upon the earth. We have the image of God, but we have forgotten how to live like God. We have forgotten how to govern the earth. We have forgotten the principles of dominion. Another thing about likeness is that likeness talks about character, the character. Some of us have lost the character of God. Some of us have lost the character of God. Briefly, I will move to the next session now. How can we retain dominion and influence? How can we retain or regain or recover our dominion and influence? The number one point is understand who you are. You see, one of the reasons why I decided to study law or to become a lawyer was because law is the closest image or is the closest definition of what it means to live like God or what it means to have dominion. Have you ever seen a judge? Have you ever seen a judge? How many of us have ever seen a judge here? They are like gods. They are treated like gods. Do you know that? You can never see a judge. He doesn't have, once they elevate him to the position of a judge, you can't be his friend except he now reaches out to you, and it can be all the time again. You see us lawyers, when we get to the court, everybody must bow. If you don't bow, they can hold you for contempt. And you cannot walk anyhow in the court. They can hold you for contempt of court. That's 3 months imprisonment. A human being like you and I. Whatever he says becomes law. Did you get that? Whatever decision a judge makes becomes law. Ha! Did you understand what I said? You didn't understand what I said. I said you did not understand what I said. Whatever decision a judge makes becomes law. And if it is a higher court, the lower courts are bound to take that same decision in similar matters. Once the court can establish that the facts are similar, they just say, according to my learned brother, in Zadadas versus Dadas, I so hold. That's it.
The decision of a judge is law, and nobody can challenge it except by a higher court. So a judge is like God, and that is exactly who God made man to be. So that is why Satan is interested in you and is interested in me, because he cannot function without us. He needs a host. He needs somebody he can possess. He needs somebody he can influence. He needs somebody he can, you know. Okay. Let me talk about God now. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. But how can you feel the goodness of God? Through another human being good to you. If you were promoted here, you come here and start rolling here. What happened? It wasn't God. You didn't see God promoting you. He used a human. So that is the essence of God having humans, of having men in key places. And that is what Satan is also looking for. He's looking for men in key places, because he cannot have authority over the earth without human beings. So you also have agents in primary schools spreading witchcraft. He has agents in government prostatas spreading wickedness, evil and darkness. And that's why you and I cannot afford to become the hosts of Satan. We cannot afford to become his host. Let's go to the next point. Now the second way. Okay, let me finish the first point on understanding yourself. I'll give you examples so that you can understand me. You know, I don't like talking too much high things. How many of us have felt burdened to pray for somebody? Or you saw somebody in your dream, a member of your family or anybody? How many of us have been seeing people in our dream, your friends, your colleagues? That is God wanting to do something on earth, or to do something for that person. But he needs somebody to ask for that thing. It's in God's heart. That person is going to die. It's in God's heart not for that person to live. So what he does is to share burdens. He shares his burdens. You will see that sister in the dream, how she had an accident, and you wake up and you'll be scared. And you will think it's just a dream. And later, some of us, later see, maybe some years, and that sister dies. Or something. So most times they are not literal meanings, but when you see something bad happening to somebody in your dream, that's God sharing his burden with you. Sometimes if you don't obey, it will go to another person. If he must save that person. If you don't obey, if he asks you to pray for somebody, or he shows you something about somebody and you don't obey, he moves to another person. For you are not ready for dominion. Hallelujah. Because that is how we gain more dominion. And we are going to go into the part where how we can gain dominion through stewardship. Obedience. The more you obey God, the greater your scope of influence. The greater your scope of authority or dominion. So I'm just giving that instance. In the same way, if the devil or the enemy wants to harm somebody, they look for another sister that has witchcraft, that she's, you know, she has jealousy, she's envious, and then they manipulate her because he's their host. Hallelujah. Please don't sleep. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because what I'm saying is very important. Stay with me, please. They will look for another sister that has their property in them or that is not saved, and manipulate that person to harm this innocent sister. So in other words, Satan cannot really do anything without you. Satan cannot do anything. In the same way, God has chosen not to do anything without involving a man. So one of the ways to take your place or take dominion this morning is to accept. That takes me to the next step. Accept your purpose. Understand that God is looking for a vessel, and you must accept it. You must accept the invitation. So purpose is very important. I don't know. When we talk about purpose, it's not far away. Purpose means that God has a plan and he needs people to execute it. That is purpose. God has a plan and he needs people to execute it. Satan has a plan. He also needs people to execute it. So we must, at every point in time, align ourselves with purpose. We must align ourselves with God's purpose. That's the second way to take dominion. We must align ourselves. You must be available. Whenever God is ready to save somebody, and he gives you a prayer burden for that person, you must be available. You cannot say because you have interview, you won't pray. Let me tell you how I grew my own, I call it spiritual intelligence. I'm writing a book on spiritual intelligence. How to develop your spiritual intelligence. This one is real life. It's what is happening to me. I'm also working my own salvation out. I noticed that sometimes when I close my eyes, I will just see images. That's how me, I see my own. Anyway, maybe different. Yours may be dreams. Yours may be imagination. Yours may be thoughts. That is how Satan executes evil on the earth. He looks for you as the host. He puts the picture in your mind. If you do nothing, nothing happens. Let me give you a good example. I was going to Iba. Yeah, no Iba. I was in a bus. And I closed my eyes just as if I wanted to doze off. And I saw a tanker from our back. In that brief vision, I saw a tanker from our back. It's the vehicle I am in. And the bus caught fire, like exploded. So the tanker must have been carrying fuel. So immediately I saw it. I said, God forbid. I will not die in Jesus' name. I rebuke every thought. I take into subjection everything that raises itself against above the knowledge of God and His Christ in my life, in my family, in the name of Jesus. Like joke. That same thing I saw. Tanker was at the back of our bus. This is not a dream, I'm telling you. And it came and hit the bus. Bah, I shouted, Jesus! 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 As in, it was too fast. I can't pray. These things happen in second. When accidents happen, some people don't even have the opportunity to shout. They are just, in the next minute, they are in the spirit realm. So that's why it's very important for you to act on everything the Lord is telling you. Don't sleep on it. It was a tanker. And immediately he hit our bus. As everybody started shouting. Some people wounded. Everybody's wounded because they had to park. It was God that said this evil vision did not come to pass. And immediately people started shouting. It's like he lost brake. You know, most of these tanker, don't go near them. For those of us driving, don't go near tanker. Don't go near, you see all of them. Trailer, they didn't tie that thing. That thing you're saying is like, it's doing like this. You go and stay under, you say you're under the canopy of God. You enter there. When you see them going, let them go. Let them go. Or you quickly overtake them and move forward. I used to tell my husband that one. Okay, let them go. Don't claim rights with any trailer. Their break is not good. People were wounded that day, but nothing happened to me. People, and I know the plan of the enemy was to bomb me inside that train. It happens like that. Sometimes I see people, it will just look like vision or like thought. Sometimes like talk. Sometimes there was even a time I saw a car collide with my husband's car. Do you know 2 weeks later, that same thing happened? That same thing I saw happened. And when I see like that, I like to tell my husband immediately, I will start pleading the blood of Jesus. It may not be, you may not see it like that, but you may see it as thoughts. It may come to you as thoughts. Don't sleep on it. Don't be dull. That's one of the ways to develop your spiritual intelligence. Pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to what you are thinking. Be aware of yourself. They call it self-awareness. Be aware of yourself. Understand that the world we are living is a spiritual world. There's nothing physical. Nothing happens to you by accident. Nothing happens and you just by chance. So know yourself. Understand your experiences. Document them. How did I know that I have the spirit of discernment? There was a sister that came to me one day. She will bring food. She will bring everything. And whenever I see her, it's as if something is angry. As if I'm angry. As if my spirit, I don't know. She's just a nice sister in welfare unit. It's just been doing as if I'm angry with her. What kind of spirit is this? Anytime she comes and give me something, I didn't know that she was poisoning that food. I didn't know she was poisoning it. It was when later something bad happened to her that I realized that this girl is actually a witch. That's why my spirit. But some of you will just say, but I'm angry. Or you think it's stress. It's not stress. Those are your spirit signal. Just the same way when you are physically weak, you start feeling feverish. The same way your spirit reacts to your environment. Sometimes you enter into some places as if goosebumps is on your body. It's not stress. You are not pregnant. Pay attention to how you feel. That's one of the ways. See, that's the things I do. So that's why whenever that thing happens again, now it's like this person has a foul inside him. Whenever I feel that hunger, I'll say, it's like this one is a witch. Do you understand? I will start getting, and when I look closely, I actually see that the person has foul spirit or is having threat of witchcraft. There's some people that are witches, but they don't know. Another way you can, okay, I want to say, one of the things Satan uses to make you understand yourself or to master your spirituality or to develop your spiritual intelligence is self-doubt. He will tell you it's stress. It's just a thought. It's not a thought. It has happened to me too. Self-doubt. You know, I'm an intercessor in the spirit. I believe that's the highest office. Hallelujah. You can join our team. Hallelujah. You can join our team. Hallelujah. The team of intercessors. That is the highest of. That is the office of Christ. That one is higher than office of pastor. Or this one is office of Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, how do I know? It said that Jesus is seated at the right hand of, and he's making intercession for us. Hallelujah. And I believe all of us are intercessors here, but it's just that you have not grown yourself. You are not aware yet. I didn't start like that, so it's because how did my own start? I just noticed I'm concerned about people. I will go and ask them, and then I will now discover that they are going through issues. So it just starts, my own started with concern. I'll just be concerned about this sister. I don't know why I'm concerned about her. And then I started praying, and I noticed the more I pray for people, I now see more. Like, that's what I'm trying to say, that when you are faithful in the little, in the garden God has placed you, it will expand your scope of influence. It will give you more territories. It will give you dominion over the earth. But you don't start from having dominion over the earth in one day. You start having dominion in your family. In your family where you are four. Your mom gave birth to four of you. You start having dominion there first. If you cannot have dominion in your family, don't cast out demons. They will disgrace you. Don't cast out demons. You cannot function there yet. Don't go to another person and be laying hands. They will slap you. You must first master dominion over your family. Nobody is permitted to die here. Those who are not doing well, they must improve. And then as you do well there, God will release more. Now, when they want to kill people, certain places, sometimes I sleep and see them. Last week, I was telling one of my sisters, I slept and I saw a man he had an accident, he was about to die. All I do is to pray for them. Most times I don't pray that they don't die. Hallelujah. It's the place of understanding. And that is how Satan discourages you and makes you doubt yourself. The fact that you prayed for somebody does not mean the person must be well. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. When you understand that all you need to do is to make the will of God as it is done in heaven to be done on earth. You don't have your own will here. So you cannot pray that when God wants the person home, you cannot say the person should stay. But sometimes God honors our ignorance. He will bring the person back, and after 3 days, the person will die again. Have you seen those kinds of testimonies? Because you prayed so much and he does not want to discourage your faith, he will bring the person back to life. And then maybe a year later, the person will die again. I've seen that happen like 2 times. So it is very important. Jesus said, let your will be done on earth. So alignment is very, very important in purpose. Alignment. Alignment is very important in purpose. As the representative of God on earth, our major purpose is that the will of God be done here as it is done in heaven. As the Lord is king in the heavens, we are to also represent him as kings here and take dominion here and take charge here and ensure that what they are doing in heaven is what we are doing here. Jesus, Paul tells us, say, as he is, so we are. So most times you do something or you pray for somebody and the person does not get healed, Satan starts making you to doubt yourself. I remember it happened to one of the brothers in our former church. I think that brother wanted to do kidney transplant. And I got so emotional because I know him personally. He's an usher in the church. So I told God, if you truly called me, you said that you will answer me whenever I call on you, please let this operation be successful. Because I didn't want this. His wife is quite young. They just have a child and he's quite young. So we prayed for 3 days, I and my husband. And then, while they were doing the procedure, that morning, I just saw, I don't know, I have these strange experiences. I just walked into the theater. I was not sleeping. I just entered the theater around 3 o'clock in the morning. I just entered the theater. So sometimes, I don't know, it feels as if I can be where people are in another location. And then listen to what is happening there. So I heard the doctor in that room. The doctor was saying, his heart has failed. His heart has failed. Ha. When I came out from the experience, I told my husband, he's like, this guy will not survive. I heard what the doctors were saying. They said his heart has failed. My husband was like, hey, God, don't let this guy die. Let us still pray. Let us still pray. So we still prayed. I said, I know even though... I don't know. These kinds of things are very hard to accept. But that morning, the brother died. So these kinds of experiences make you doubt yourself. But we must understand that we pray or we intercede for people not to change the will of God over them. Hallelujah. Not to change the will of God, but to enforce the will of God, to implement the will of God. So don't ever let Satan put doubt, self-doubt in you when you pray and it did not happen. You may pray for somebody to be healed and then the person dies. That is the will of God for that person. As long as you have prayed. See, let me give you another example. Do you know a witch? Hallelujah. How many of us know witches? I know you may not have seen one, but you know what it means to be a witch. Or to be an ogboni. This guy is a regular person. The only thing that give them assurance is the ring. That ring they gave them. All of them have a ring. You will know them. But it's like pastor said, they've changed the strategy. Now they are now using wedding ring. So you won't know again. But if you see an ogboni mouth, they give them a ring. Either on this last hand or here. One strange ring, you will know them. Now the only thing that gives that man audacity or impetus or the boldness that he has some power is that ring that he has. And then the concussion they used to drink in their group. That's the only thing that gives him the power to... An average Ogboni man believes anything he says. He can challenge you. Yoruba will say, Toriko ni ko to gojule. Because he has something that he relies on. There's nothing... It's not more than that. Once they give them a ring, they tell them that anything they say, anybody they want dead, they should just bring out this charm and say it. And he exercises that authority well, just because he has a ring and a little charm that was made with red clothes. How much more us that we have the word of God that is alive? We have Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. Everything is complete. I want to ask us this morning, what will it take for you to believe what I am saying? What will it take you to believe that you are like God on the earth? How can I convince you that you have dominion? This one will stand like pride, but it's not pride. No. When you know, that's why I dance. You know, one of the reasons why I dance in the way I dance is because I have tested what I am doing. You see? When you have understanding of what you are doing, you do it differently. When you have an understanding that you are a king, the only thing kings or priests do is to pour homage to their deity. So if you are not dancing in the church and dancing, who are you dancing to? Because every other person is dancing. Either they dance in the club or they dance elsewhere, everybody is dancing. Where do you dance? If you don't dance to your own, to God, where else do you want to dance? This thing is just a matter of perception. It's a matter of understanding. Probably because some of us will be here and your mind is not even here. The choir will be whining. Dance, you are doing as if you don't know. This is the presence of God. Jesus is here. God is here. Holy Spirit is here. Angels are here. Do you need to be whined like that before you dance? It's because you don't know. You don't know who you are. Nobody needs to whine you. Nobody needs to inspire you. The day it occurs to you that you are a king, and what kings do is to pay homage. You know, especially for those of them that have been equipped with power. Go and check who priests are. Go and check Yemoja. They're always by the sea with shekere and white wrapper. That is their power. The day they stop paying homage to that deity, they lose their power. So what are you doing with the powers that you have? And I want to say before I go, another thing that we have that we don't know yet is the power of praise and worship. If you don't feel like prayer, some of us, I'm not a prayer person, so some of you think I'm a prayer person. How did I start praying? I'm not a prayer person. I'm just trying to tell you. I started praying. I know God did that one on purpose. Maybe just to bring that part of me, but I don't like praying. I don't like stressing myself, you know. But something I do very well is praises. Something I do very well is worship. And I want to give you this secret. If you are not a pray, go and get songs. Train your spirit to always be singing. I know some of us will be, sometimes some of us start feeling guilty. You are not praying. The reason you are feeling guilty is because you are not always in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God most times doesn't have to do with doing the routine prayers. If your heart is always singing, God is always speaking to you. I don't know how. You know, sometimes when pastor preaches, most of those things that pastor is saying, you will see me shouting, I'm not trying to form it. God has told me some of those things during the week. So when I say, just to confirm it, I'm not hearing it for the first time, but some of you are hearing it for the first time. So praise and worship also bless you in the spirit realm. You are there consistently. You always look me to, when pastor mentioned, I will feel as if I'm so spiritual. You see? I don't know. Pastor makes me feel as if I'm actually spiritual because when he says something, I've heard this thing. I've heard it like two times last week. God told me this. I'll be happy. So I'm also in the spirit, right? I'm also in the spirit. Hallelujah. So God is interesting. Dominion is good. It's good to know you have power and you can change things. That's one of the things that challenges me to pray for people, because I know whenever I call him, he will hear me. I don't know. It's a level of understanding who you are. I believe that when I pray for this, that God has to hear. And if he did not hear, most times it's like what happened with that brother that I told my husband I was going to die. Most times if what I'm praying for will not happen, I will just know, or he will just show me what will happen. But this, it didn't start in a day. It started with thoughts. I started being intentional about my thoughts, because I noticed that anything I imagine, it happens. It happens. Your home may be dream, but watch out for your dreams. Pray about it. That is a major way to extend your span of influence and dominion. Let's start up on our feet. It's a call to action. I'm not basically waiting for any big prayer point, but it's a call to action. And I intentionally shared most of my experiences to make you understand that this thing you can live it. Last week, do you know that I saw Jesus came to me in my dream? I told my husband, as in it was just so, I was covering myself with a veil, and he opened the veil and smiled at me. He first came with pastor's face, and then at a point his face started changing. He changed to Adeboye's face, Baba Adeboye's face. And he was smiling at me. He was saying many things. You know, this in the book of Revelation that said his voice is like many waters. He was saying many things. It was like, I don't know. These things are beautiful experiences. But it starts from the day you understand that you are not ordinary. Galabada somentani hatikate bosesai kamanai. It's by starting to believe that whatsoever you say, atapikukuku metakiyase. It's by starting to understand that you are not ordinary. It's by starting to clothe yourself with praise. That is your major power. If you have not learned to live in the presence of God, my sister, you will keep whining yourself to pray. Say, Father, help me. Help me. See, what brings God to you, from my own personal experience, what brings God to you is the state of your heart. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Whose mind is on thee? If your mind is not on God, I'm sorry, you can't see anything. So this thing starts with your mind. It starts with your mind. Say, Father, I know you have given me the grace. You are only telling me this to start walking in authority, to start walking in dominion and influence. I receive this power in the name of Jesus. This week, no matter how busy I am, I receive the grace to always sing your praise, to remain and dwell in your presence, to serve you and worship you like the God that you are. To serve and worship you like the God that you are. To serve and worship you, because I don't understand that I am a priest. He has made unto himself kings and priests upon the earth, that they will rule, that they will reign, they will intercede and implement the purpose of God upon the earth. From today, let your heart sing from your heart. Don't sing from your mouth. Sing from your heart. I promise you, if you do this consistently in a year, you will see Jesus. Jesus will come and visit you.
You have received the word, and heaven has marked your moment. This week, you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep swearing.